Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going? Welcome back in person. Man, if you're online with us today, we're glad that you're here worshiping with us today. You know, this guy, Robbie, he just thinks he can leave his microphone wherever he wants. You know, it's in my way. I'm just kidding. But yeah, hey, we're glad that you're here. I've missed being here with you guys, seeing you guys, chatting with you guys, and seeing your amazing smiles through your mask every single week. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the most difficult part about all this. Are they smiling? Are they talking about me? You don't know. You know what I'm saying? And so it's kind of interesting. How many of you wear glasses and you like hate the mask, right? Dude, it's like, I'm like, I hate it. And then you can't see if you take your glasses. So it's like a lose-lose situation with those masks, but we know they're helpful as well. So I'm pumped to be back, pumped to be here. I've missed being here. It was necessary for us to take a few weeks off just because we want to make sure everyone's safe. And so we did that, but we're all good. Everyone's good as far as the staff goes, and so that's exciting. Now, if you joined us, if you've been before and you just came back, you may have noticed some changes. We've still been going after it. A few weeks ago, I shared a message about what are you going to do in the meantime, right? There's been a lot of waiting. There's been a lot of unknowns. There's been a lot of things that we just don't know. But in the meantime, there's still work to do, right? In the meantime, we still got to move, we still got to go, we still got to do the work that God has called us to do. So in the meantime, we've still been working. If you came into the cafe, you noticed it's kind of fully like furnished in there. And we got some big plans for the cafe. I don't know if I'm ready to kind of drop that on you yet, but I will, because we got something really cool that's going to be taking place in there. But we're going to get that all set up for us to have the donuts and coffee. If you didn't get donuts and coffee, man, make sure you stop by on your way out if you're online. We'll mail you one. We won't. They won't be good. I don't know if they'll even accept that. But make sure you do that. We've been working really hard to get our kids ministry up and running. And I know I've shared a little bit about this over the last couple of weeks, but of course there was in the beginning, we were very leery because, you know, we just weren't sure. We didn't want our kids don't social distance well, right? And I don't think they ever will. You can do all you want, but they're still gonna wanna punch each other and kick each other and be around each other. And so we knew that was going on, but at the same time, we moved into this space and the rooms that we had for the kids were not ready. But we have been working hard. We've been pulling up carpet. We've been painting. We're getting ready to reinstall carpet. And so right now, we're going to launch or kick off the nursery and pre-K. Our hope, I believe, Kim, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I believe it's September 6th. So the first weekend in September, the nursery and pre-K will be open for those families that have that. And that's a big deal, and maybe you're online and you've been waiting for that, and so that'll be happening. We're just gonna kind of start with that, and then we're gonna move to getting the rest of the rooms ready all the way up through third through fifth grade, and so that'll be happening. You know, as we begin to open kids ministry back up, you know, if you're a kids ministry moment maker, you haven't done that in a while, and so if that's something that you're looking to get back into and want to begin serving, make sure that you let Kim know. You can write that on your Connect card because we really want to get our kids ministry back up and running, because we have so many families with so many kids. We have so many families with a lot of kids as well, and it is a very difficult thing sometimes to try to worship and you know, keep your kids kind of quiet and unruly, you know, just keeping them good because they're being unruly, but, you know, they don't belong in here. They belong in the kids ministry where they're being able to play and learn and all that stuff. So I wanted to give you that kids ministry update. So in September, the kids ministry will be back up and running. So that's exciting. The other thing, over the last few weeks, we've been doing this BOGO with our chairs. You guys are sitting in our chairs here in person, not at home. You're not, unless you stole one. If you stole a chair, bring it back. But we have our chairs, and we have about, I would say, 15 more chairs that we need purchased that would allow us to get to the goal that we need. So I just want to let you know, if you haven't, what we did with the chairs was we did buy one, give one. So you buy a chair for yourself, and then you buy another chair for someone else, not someone in your family, but someone else that maybe you're praying about that comes and will meet Jesus one day, and they're sitting in the chair that you made the decision to buy. So if you are looking to get in on that and help us, man, finish out that goal, you can go online to give towards that. Just look for the chair thing. My online peeps, I appreciate you. I know it can be hard sometimes trying to worship at home. There are so many things calling for your attention. You see the mess, you have your kids, and it's hard to just sit down and relax. And so I appreciate you taking the time to be here with us. And I would encourage you, and I'll encourage you guys here as well. If you're here today and you look around and maybe you don't see somebody, or maybe you haven't heard from somebody that you knew, attended our church, you haven't heard from them, you haven't seen them, maybe they're not watching online with you, I would encourage you to reach out to them, see how they're doing. I think in this time we've kind of just come into ourselves, right? We've isolated ourselves for good reason, but at the same time we're still dealing with stuff, everyday stuff. It's not just COVID stuff, but everyday normal stuff, and we still need community. So I'd encourage you, online, in person, reach out to someone maybe that you haven't heard from in a while. Check on them. Make sure they're all right. Let them know what's going on here and invite them back. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Now, the last 2 weeks we took a break from Risk It for the Biscuit. That is our building campaign giving series. And so I wanted to bring you guys up to speed on that. Maybe you're joining us for the first time, haven't heard about that, or you're coming back, and I just want to let you know what that's all about. So this will be the fourth week. So 4 weeks ago, plus two because of the 2 weeks we took off, we kicked off this series, and I told you guys that at the end of this series, it was going to be a six-week series, at the end of this series, we're going to come together on what I'm calling Biscuit Sunday, because it's just, it's catchy. And we're going to have biscuits. But really, it's Commitment Sunday. And I told you guys that our goal for this campaign is to allow us to get into this building and do all that we need to do to move forward. And so we have a $50,000 building campaign. Get into the building and do all the things that we need to do in the building. And so on, I believe, August 30th now is our new projected Commitment Sunday, the Biscuit Sunday. We will be coming together as a church to make commitments, one-year commitments, to say, I am going to, over the next year, give this amount in order for us to do all that we can right here in this church to reach our community. So that's kind of the short of what we've been doing. And we wanted to add a few things in there as well. So on August 28th, we're going to be having a worship night, a worship and prayer night. We want to come in here and we want to pray about, the commitments coming on Sunday and all that God's going to do. So I want you guys to get that on your calendar. It'll be an awesome night for us to just pray and to worship about all the things that God's going on. We're going to take communion that night together as well as a church. So make sure that you guys join us for that. Another thing we wanted to do is the week leading up to Commitment Sunday is we wanted to do a week of prayer and fasting. And so we're going to challenge you. It'll be next Sunday. We're going to challenge you to choose something to fast as you pray about what God is laying on your heart in order to give towards this campaign. The staff and I, we are working on little devotionals that we're going to send out to you guys each day in order to encourage you. So I wanted to get you that as well. And then, of course, we have Commitment Sunday that I already told you about. So that's kind of where Risk It's going. Risk It for the Biscuit series, it's all leading towards that. We've been talking about taking risk. It's not a risk if you know you can. It's a risk when you know only God can. And that's what we're believing, and that's what we've seen. God has done amazing things in the midst of all this. That's right. Amen. I like that. That was my son, I believe. I don't even know if he's paying attention. He just said amen. So that's cool. It's just he just does it. And so we're believing, man, that God is doing mighty work here and now. He led us to this place, and he's leading us somewhere. And so we got to be willing to take risk. Now we're gonna jump back into risk today, but I'm gonna kind of throw something else in there that's been on my heart. I want to pray with you guys, and then we'll dive into the rest. Will you pray with me, God? Right now, I thank you. I thank you that we are able to be here today, to be in this space. I thank you for all the work, all the hands that have come together to make this a reality, all those who have been giving and sacrificial up until this point. God, I thank you for that. Today we come to worship you and to grow who we are in you. God, to lay our burdens at your altar, at your feet. God, we need community, and we need to be in your presence in community, and that's what we're doing today. Allow your word to speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. How is your joy in the midst of all of this? How's your joy? What brings you joy? Would you say that the joy you have now is the same as it was in the beginning of the year? And then the follow-up question to that is, what's been stealing your joy? Or maybe let me put it this way. What have you allowed to steal your joy? Because I think that's what we do. We get caught up in everything that's going on in our lives and in the world and all around us. And the joy begins to be taken from us. And fear comes over and anxiety sets in. I believe in the midst of all of this, because there have been so many unknowns and uncertainties, my joy has been sapped. There have been many distractions that have kept me from what God has called me to do. Having to continually kind of rethink how to do church, what we're doing at church, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what's this going to look like, that's been something that's been overwhelming and has maybe taken some of my joy. And wearing a mask and having my glasses fogged up all the time, that steals my joy a little bit too. Anyone else like, wearing a mask steals my joy? I know we got to, but wearing a mask stealing my joy, okay? It does. It steals my joy. Now, that's a funny one, but I think my joy's also been sapped by constant demands. This is a funny one, too. My joy's been sapped by not being able to go to TJ Maxx when I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the beginning, when you couldn't go to TJ Maxx, and that sapped my joy. My shoulder's been killing me. That saps my... And there's all these things that show up. And in the middle of everything else that's going on, the pandemic and, man, just the division in our country, all the political division and everything that's going on with the protesting and the riots, that sends to steal the joy in our lives. And then you add on other stuff, normal stuff. Man, I don't know if anybody had any AC problems with their car or with their home lately. It's a bad time to have AC problems, ain't it? My AC went out the other day. I was able to fix it, but it's just one of those things. Like, all these things just keep coming. And then, man, you throw in some family problems, and you throw in sickness, and there's just all these things that are trying to steal our joy. And I think it's easy. I think it's easy to allow all these things to want to steal our joy. As I was thinking about joy, I came to this phrase that is a verse in the Bible. And it says this: count it all joy. Count it all joy. And I want to stop right there, because I think that's a powerful phrase in and of itself. Count it all joy. And it goes on, and it says when, right? And you can put that up on the screen. Count it all joy when what? When you meet trials. I'm gonna bring this up. Hold on. This is James 1. 2 through 4. Now, my version says, consider it. This is the HCSB. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. So all those things I just mentioned, all the things I didn't mention that you have going on in your life, count those all joy. That's a hard thing to do. Count it all joy. And it goes on to say, count it all joy when you face and experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Now, the other translation that I think is up on the screen has this word steadfastness. I love this word. And, of course, it means endurance, but it has another meaning that says be unwavering. Be unwavering in your joy. Be unwavering in your faith. Count it all joy and be unwavering in who God called you to be. Because in your steadfastness, it goes on, let your steadfastness, your endurance, that unwavering, it will have its full effect so that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. So we count it all joy. Have you been able to do that over the last few months? Everything that's going on, everything that's happening, your circumstance, have you been able to count those things all joy? And it's easy to get pulled away from the joy that we are given in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you know what it says? Be joyful always. It goes on to say, pray consistently, and in all things be thankful. But even that 5:16, be joyful always. Be joyful even though you feel isolated. Be joyful even though you got laid off. Be joyful even though you're sick. Be joyful even though things aren't going the way that you wanted. Be joyful. Count it all joy. Now, I may mess this name up, but there was a TV show. I think it was a TV show. What is it? Marie Coney? Is it Coney? Marie Coney? Cone Marie? Is that how you say it? Con Marie, right? She's the tidy queen, right? And she'd go into your house and help you get everything tidied up. And there was this specific thing. As she's helping you get rid of the clutter, what would she say? Does this bring you joy? Does this spark joy? And she says, if so, keep it. If not, get rid of it. That's great. That's a great principle, right? Wouldn't it be nice if all the things in our life that didn't bring us joy could just be like, get out of here. My job, doesn't bring me joy. I'm getting rid of it. My kids are being annoying. just count it all joy, but we can't do that, can we? You think about, you know, some of your coworkers. They don't bring you joy. Get rid of them, right? Sadly, this principle doesn't work. It doesn't work for our families. It doesn't work for many of the circumstances that we're in. It doesn't work with COVID, and it doesn't work with mask. And so the reality is that we can't. There are certain things that we can't just say, you know what, that doesn't bring me joy, so I'm going to be done with that. So we have to, what James says, we have to endure. We have to persevere. We have to count it all joy by remembering that Jesus is with us. And through it all, he is shaping us. Because you go back to the scripture, and it says, let that endurance have its full effect so that you will be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. When you count it all joy, the trials and the hardships that you are facing, and you persevere, and you are unwavering in your faith in who you are in Jesus, you'll be complete and lacking nothing. But when we begin to let those things steal our joy, we begin to become unraveled, don't we? We begin to wonder about our purpose and our belonging and our plans. But we're called to endure, to be steadfast in everything. As Jesus followers, we are called to count it all joy, no matter what we're going through, so that he can be given glory. Because it's in these moments, as Jesus followers, where we're supposed to be set apart, right, and handling the things that are going on around us in a biblical way, in the way that Jesus would handle them. And when we do that, when we handle the things that are going on, when we remember the joy that we have been given in Christ, and we react in a Christ-like way, guess what? Other people take notice. They take notice of how we're responding and the fact that even in the midst of all this that's going on, we still have that joy. We haven't let go. We are enduring. We are persevering. We count it all joy, and we bring him glory when we do that. See, our example for joy, holding on to joy while enduring hardship and difficulties, our example has always been Jesus. It's been Jesus. You think about his life and what he went through for you and I. In the midst of all of it, he had the joy before him. I want to read to you Hebrews 12. This will be verses 1 and 2. I'm gonna jump just to probably 1b. It says, lay this. Let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily ensnares us. Every hindrance, you know, all these things that are trying to get our focus of what God called us to do and where God called us to go and the joy that God gave us, all those things, those hindrances, and also the sin that we so easily step into. Let us lay aside those things and let us run with what? With endurance. Let's be unwavering. Let's be steadfast. Let's run the race that lies before us. And I love verse 2. It says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the source and perfecter of our faith for the what? What's it say there? For the joy that lay before him. Guess what he did? For the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. He was despised and by the shame, but then he sat down at the right hand of God. And so we look to Jesus' example of still doing something, enduring a hardship, knowing what it's going to mean for him. You've got to understand, What Jesus did for you and for me and for everybody, when he was going to be arrested, when he was beaten, when he was flogged, when he was nailed to the cross, when he died on that cross, listen to me, he knew it was going to take place. But there was this joy that was before him. Do you know what that joy was? That even though he had to endure hardship and difficulty and death, the joy that was before him is that he knew that through his death, you and I would experience salvation. And that was the joy that he lived out in his life. And as we take that on ourselves, as we accept that salvation through Jesus, we are called to then display that same joy in our lives so that people can find the hope that we have found in Jesus. So that when these times come in their lives, they can also count it all joy. There was this joy that was before him. And this joy in Jesus, for you and I, this joy in Jesus is displayed in sacrificial actions for others. When we are willing to make sacrifices, to take risk, to get uncomfortable so that other people can come to know the joy that we have found. So if you would say today, my joy is being taken, my joy is being sapped, I don't feel like I have that joy anymore, can I remind you of who Jesus is and what he did for you? Can I remind you that you are still here and you are breathing today, and it's for a reason, it's for a purpose. Find joy in that. Find joy in the fact that you and I didn't deserve Christ to die on the cross for us. Salvation through, we didn't deserve that, but he gave it to us anyway. Find joy in that. Find joy in the fact that there are opportunities that you have been given in this time that you would have never been given any other time. And step into those things. Shift your perspective. You may lose something. Something may happen. Maybe your plans are changed, but maybe that's God saying, hey, I need you to go here and I need you to do this so I can be given glory. Count it all joy. So how does this translate to our series, to risking it for the biscuit? You know, I talk about Jesus, and you know that Jesus kind of embodied the sacrificial, unconditional love. Jesus was generous in his words. He was generous in his healing. He embodied generosity. I want to read to you from Acts 20, 35. It says this, "In everything I showed you by example, that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said this, 'It is more blessed,'" and I love this version, this is the Amplified version, "'is more blessed and brings greater joy to give than to receive.'" You know, I think in the last 6 months, it has been real easy to be selfish, right? To protect ourselves, to protect our family, to protect our loved ones. I think it's been so easy to kind of put ourselves in a little bubble, and maybe we put ourselves there because of fear. Maybe we put ourselves there because of doubt. Maybe it was just because, hey, you know what? We thought that's the best thing to do, but I feel like we have lost the calling that God gave us all in the midst of all of this, that says even in the midst of whatever you're going through, we are still called to bring the joy that we have found in Jesus to others. And so maybe, hey, today if your joy feels like it's sapped, I wonder, what have you done for Jesus in the last few months? Or have you been too afraid? Have you been too isolated? Have maybe you lost the path and you're not sure how to get back because everything's different now? But, you know, we're called to give, because as we give, it brings greater joy. In Jesus, his sacrifice, his gift, him giving, it was not in vain. And I want you to know that too. Like, when you sacrifice for others, when you risk it for others, it is not going to be in vain. And it wasn't for Jesus, because through it all, the entire world was blessed through his sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice anyone could ever make. Jesus gave us the way. He gave us the truth. He gave us the life, right? He gave us salvation. And when we give, and when we risk, and when we sacrifice for others, this is what we do. We sow hope for those who don't know Jesus. So no matter what is asked of you, no matter what risk you have to take, no matter what we do and where God's calling us, when we do that for God, we are given joy. And Jesus brings us joy. You see, Jesus is the joy that is set before us. And so no matter those sacrifices or hardships, that's what we got to cling to. No matter what you're going through or experiencing, no matter the pain, no matter the hurt, no matter the uncertainties, you got to cling to the hope, to the life, to the peace, to the love, to the joy that is found in Jesus. See, it's in our willingness to risk for God, to sacrifice for God, that we receive these blessings that are overflowing. When we're willing to step out of ourselves and to care about others, even at the risk of ourselves, there's this joy that's overflowing. There's this peace that's overflowing. There's this hope that is overflowing. I want to read one last verse to you. It's found in Romans 15, 13. And it simply says this: "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." If your joy is sapped, if you're running on empty, if you've lost hope, if fear has taken over, man, can I just encourage you and challenge you to just run back to your Father, who brings hope, who brings joy. Give him more of your time, and I guarantee your joy will come back. Spend more time in his word, in his promises, in your joy, in your hope, in your peace will come back. Spend more time, man, going and doing the things that Jesus has called you to do. Live out your purpose here on earth, that is to bring him glory. And I can guarantee you, your joy is going to come back. Do you understand? Because it's in him alone, that we find that joy. And so if you've lost that joy, if you can't seem to get back to that joy, then all you simply got to do is go back to him and say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Somewhere along the way, I allowed the lies of the enemy, my fears, and my doubts to pull me away from you. And God, this has not been a good place for me." If that's true for you today, whether you're here in person or you're watching online, take a moment right now. Just put down whatever you got. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Spend some time with him. I mean, really pour out your heart to him. Say, "God, I am." Be honest. "God, I'm worried. And I'm anxious." And oftentimes doubt comes in, and "God, I don't feel your presence anymore. And I don't know why, but God, I need you. I need you here in my life. I need you to hold me together. I need your joy. I need your peace. I need your hope. I need your love in my life, because everything that's going on, it's too much. Everything in this world is coming down around me, and the weight is too heavy." And as you go to him, can you be reminded that though the world may come against you, take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. He had this joy that was set before him, and that joy was you. all he desires. All he desires from you is that you would simply be in relationship with him every day. That is the key. No matter how you feel, or how much your heart aches, or how much the bills are piling up, or how many personal problems you have, or whoever you're arguing with, no matter what, you take some time to be with him. If your joy feels sapped, you fill it up every day by worshiping him, by being in his presence, by praying to him, by going to his word, by allowing his word and speaking his promises over your life. Find joy in him. And then as you're filled up, and this is the key part, the joy that you're given in Jesus isn't just for you. Oh, it's for others that don't have it. Oh, man. Because they may have never known it. They may have never known that it existed. So you get this joy and you fill up and you take that from that overflow that he gives you of the joy and the peace, and you give that to others. Because this world is in desperate need of Jesus in their lives. And we got to show them. We got to be willing to risk it all so that others can come to know him. God, right now, I thank you for your words. I thank you for the reminder that this joy, man, this joy that we need so desperately, it is found in you and you alone. And it comes from us being with you every single day. God, would you just pull us back to you? Man, use your spirit to say, you got to go back. You got to be in God's presence. Allow us to be the followers that your word calls us to be. Allow us to count it all joy when we face trials and hardships of various kinds. God, fill us up. Fill us up so we can overflow that to others. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.